the moments that are leading to the cross, and eventually on Easter Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the most important day of the year. Can you say amen? That's the day that our faith is based on, is that. And what I have learned, though, over my years of studying God's Word is that there's a lot that went on just in that 1 week or so of Jesus, what we call Passion Week. Some of us call it Holy Week. But it's the events that led to Jesus being crucified. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Last Supper. And so in case you missed that, then you can come to the movie today. And so I was telling people, I've read the book, so I'm not going to spoil how it ends, okay? We looked at the Last Supper and some things that took place there that were pretty powerful. Last week, we went to the garden. That's the location that Jesus went right after the Last Supper. And we looked at a part of Jesus, what we call his high priestly prayer. We looked at the prayer that he offered to his Father right before he was to be arrested. And that brings us to today's subject. I want to share on the wrong end of the sword. The wrong end of the sword. This might come in handy today. The wrong end of the sword. Jesus is in the garden, and once the prayer time is over, Jesus makes it aware to those that are praying with him that he is about to be arrested. And Judas is leading the group of people that are responsible for making Jesus' life miserable for the next number of hours. And something takes place during this moment of arrest that I want to share with you today. Because I firmly believe that a number of us can very much relate to the events that took place in the scriptures we're going to look at here today. And some of you are wondering where I'm going. I want to share that with you. First of all, let's go to the book of Matthew, okay? And I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet in honor of God's words. We read it together. We are in Matthew 26. Now, again, we're going to read three different accounts of the same story today, okay? And we're going to talk about the wrong end of the sword. Let's start in verse 47 of Matthew 26, and here's what it says. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." And going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." And then the men stepped forward, they seized Jesus, and they arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword. He drew it out, and he struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" Now, turn to the book of Luke or just watch the screen, whatever you prefer to do. Luke chapter 22, verses 49 through 51. Here's the beautiful thing. Here's the beautiful thing about the Word of God is that we get different perspectives sometimes in the Gospels of the same story. And we get this perspective from Dr. Luke. Okay, take a look at this. "When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, 'Lord, shall we strike with our swords?' And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, 'No more of this.' And he touched the man's ear, and healed him. Well, so far we don't know who this person was. Spoiler alert, I'm going to give it to you now. John chapter 18. Guess who? Oh boy. Simon Peter. The more you study about the disciples, the more you discover, by the way, that they were not the most perfect people. Okay? Verse 10, then Simon Peter, who had a sword, he drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? Jesus, I pray that today you would help us to biblically look at a very challenging, difficult subject. But Lord, I ask you for healing in this place. I ask you for restoration in this place. I ask you for your Holy Spirit to move in this place as we look at your word together. And Lord, I'll thank you and I'll give you the praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name. And we all said amen. Amen. You may be seated. The wrong end of the sword. I bought this at Mac Auction. I got it for $2.99. I'm pretty proud of this. People keep breaking my props, so I gotta like hide them after I buy them. So I bought this as a visual, not just to hit people if they fall asleep, but I bought this as a visual today to deal with the subject of hurt. Yay! How do we process hurt? Now, here's the reality. When you gave your life to Christ, if somebody said, hey, good news, now that you're a Christian, you will never be hurt again. Now, how many of you discovered after about 48 hours that that just wasn't the case? Can I see your hands? Okay, maybe it was more than that, but all of us were going to deal with hurt, except me, because I'm a pastor. It never happens to me. Okay, and that's not true, okay? So we got to deal with it. And having served in ministry now for 30-plus years, 35-plus years, I've learned that when people don't deal with hurt correctly, there's some really bad results that take place as a result of that. And the temptation is to try to just bottle it up and never deal with it. I promise you that it will eventually come out. The temptation is to belittle it. You're not hurt. You should see my hurt. My hurt's worse than your hurt. And we almost kind of get a playground thing, like my dad can beat your dad up and my hurt's bigger than yours. And we're not here whatsoever to belittle anyone's pain in this place. So please understand that, okay? But I refuse to intensify it because I don't want it to see it control anybody in this place. I've seen many of my friends in ministry who have never dealt with hurt properly. It's affected their ministry. It's affected their life. It's affected their relationships. It's affected everything. And I've seen that when hurt is not, or hurt is not dealt with in a healthy way, when it's not dealt with correctly, here's what takes place. Friendships will be damaged severely when hurt is not dealt with correctly. Let me tell you, if you're close to somebody, they're going to hurt you. It's going to happen. There's going to be an offense. There's going to be pain there. How do we deal with that? Here's another thing I've witnessed. Ministry decisions are made for the wrong reason. Church decisions are made for the wrong reasons. In fact, I've seen colleagues of mine that have made major church or ministry decisions just to avoid getting hurt instead of following God's will. And that goes to the next one. Big personal decisions are made out of emotion. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get hurt again. I'm not going to get involved in this ministry because it didn't work out right. I'm not going to get involved in church because I got hurt at that last church. And so, not again. And let me pause here and just say, by the way, if God needs to give you some healing, one thing I've seen in the last 25 years of this church is that this has been a place for healing for so many people who have come from a place of hurt and crisis and sorrow, and God has just been so good to bring help and health and healing from the pain that might be taking place in someone's life. And I thank the Lord for that. Don't you? Amen. And here's another one. One's life, I already mentioned this, one's life is governed by avoiding hurt instead of functioning the way that God wants. I'll do this as long as there's no pain. I'll do this as long as no one's going to hurt me. And the moment somebody looks cross-eyed at me, I'm out of there. And that's what happens. We are so caught up in avoiding pain that we don't realize that it's actually a part of our lives. And Jesus, nowhere in the Bible did Jesus say, clean slate, no more pain for you. Never. But he does give us the power through his Holy Spirit to deal with it correctly. And that brings us to this story. How do we deal with those moments where our ears are a little bloody? When we've been hurt by somebody? I want to examine that today. In fact, I want to take a look at three people in this scripture here this morning. And I think that God potentially could do some pretty significant things in a lot of people's lives today. Number one, let's take a look at the servant. His name was Malchus, we learn in John chapter 18. The guy with the sword was Peter. Thank you, Apostle John, for always telling on everybody. Couldn't see Peter. Snitches get stitches, John. So that's my attempt to be gangsta right there. And it failed miserably. But Malchus, here's the scene, okay? The gang is coming to arrest Jesus. And for some reason, the servant of the high priest was there. Now, understand, Malchus was not a soldier. Are you with me so far? Malchus was not a soldier. Malchus was not even the high priest. He was the high priest's servant. For all we know, he went to Giant Eagle right before and just taking a shortcut back home and say, hey, what's going on? Ow! Oh, right side, ow! So we're not sure exactly why he was there. Maybe he was sent by the high priest. Maybe he was just a bystander. But here's what I know. The one that Peter injured, he was not a soldier. Peter went after a pretty easy target. I can see Peter saying, he looks tough, ha, boom, what's your name? Malchus. And his ears laying on the ground. He's literally beside himself. That's a horrible joke. I'm here all week. And then some. Malchus gets hurt. The servant gets hurt. He is definitely on the wrong end of the sword. But I will tell you that Malchus's pain was more than just the obvious. I think it may have been actually a little bit deeper. In fact, as we compare to the pain in our lives, it can actually be quite deeper than just what was on the surface. What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, Malchus's pain, I believe, was a matter of trust. Now, what do I mean by that? Who did the slicing and dicing? It was Peter. What was Peter's role? He was one of Jesus' disciples, correct? Correct? Work with me, church. Okay? You lost the hour last week, not this week. Stay with me here. So, Peter, disciple, a person who was pretty close to Jesus, did the hurting. Have you ever been hurt by somebody who is supposed to be really close to Jesus? In fact, he wasn't just a disciple. He was one of the big three. He was in the inner circle. This is the one that Jesus said, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Your name is no longer Simon, it's Rocky. You are Peter. I got big things for you, Peter. And then later, ah. And how many times have we come across somebody that we would never expect to hurt us? In fact, do you want to know why that hurts more than some stranger? Okay, so for example, if some stranger says something about me on Facebook or TikTok, hi Pip, or somebody who doesn't even know me, okay? If somebody does that, I don't care. It's like, oh, you don't even know me, and I don't know you, so have a good day. Tell your mom I said hi. You know, I'm sure she's upstairs. And great, but if it's somebody who's close to me, okay, that makes the pain more difficult. If it's a person that I have higher expectations on, the greater the pain is going to be. And I got a feeling that Malchus was like, whoa, you're supposed to be one of Jesus' closest disciples. Whoa, you're supposed to be. Didn't you do miracles with Jesus? You walked on water. What are you cutting off my ear for? And sometimes the biggest source of pain will come from somebody that we trusted and high expectations for. The closer the relationship, the bigger the level of hurt. Let me say that one more time so you get this, okay? The closer of the relationship, the more that hurt's going to sting. David even said this in the book of Psalms, chapter 41, verse 9. He said, even my close friend, someone I trusted who has shared my bread, has turned against me. Some of the biggest sources of pain that we will face will come from people whom we never expected to hurt us at all. Peter had a calling on his life. Peter was close to Jesus. Peter visibly and was right there when Jesus would do some of his greatest miracles. He saw it all. And he's the one dishing out the pain. Maybe perhaps today, you find yourself with a bloody ear, and the person who was holding the sword was supposed to be pretty godly. That thing that they said, the thing that they did, how they betrayed you, how they, maybe you were hurt by a pastor. I pray to God you weren't hurt by this pastor, but that hurts. And that hurts more than some stranger. Someone that you would not have trusted. Somebody whom I expected him to hurt me. He's cutting off ears all the time. And maybe that's the pain that we're dealing with. Jesus is here to heal your pain. Can you say amen? Malchus's pain was a matter of trust, but it was also a matter of timing. Not only was the servant's pain a matter of trust, but it was also a matter of timing. You see, here's the deal. There was no way that Malchus saw this coming. He's surrounded by soldiers, it looks like. And again, for all we know, he was just an innocent bystander. All we know is that he was not doing anything physical and that was not his assignment. He's cooking breakfast for the high priest. Are you hearing me? He's waiting on table. He's washing the high priest's car, chariot, horse, whatever the case might be. That's what he's doing. He is not a soldier. And no way, as he's in this garden, did he ever expect that pain would be inflicted upon him. And that can be some of the most painful moments is when it becomes so unpredictable. Where did this come from? You ever asked that question before? Where in the world did this come from? And I got a feeling that Malchus thought, oh, man, this was not on my list of stuff to do. Go grocery shopping, get new ear. But I want you to also reflect on something. This event, this scene at the garden, was right before the crucifixion, correct? The crucifixion was right before what? The resurrection. Here's what I've seen. Many times, some of our biggest moments of pain precede some of the greatest moments of victory. And could it be that the enemy of our soul is trying so hard to dissuade us and to discourage us and try to keep us from God's best? You see, the enemy of our souls is not all powerful, but he does get it. He does see things moving in the heavenlies, and he will do everything that he can. My enemy will do everything he can, the devil, to try to keep me from all that God has for me. And if there's a resurrection about to take place in my life, trust me, the enemy will try to inflict pain any way that he can and use whatever means necessary to do it. And could it be that we have people who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ who have given up on God because they had a moment of pain only to unknowingly walk away from a resurrection that God wanted to do in their lives, to walk away from something that Jesus had planned for them? Yes, there was pain, but the resurrection was coming. Yes, there was difficulty, but the blessing was coming. Yes, there was hurt, but there was a healing that was coming. And my message to every Malchus in this place is to understand that the pain might be there, but God may be preparing you for a resurrection in your life. And the servant Malchus experienced pain. And he was definitely on the wrong end of the sword. But there's another character in this story. The swordsman. And I will tell you that he was also on the wrong end of the sword. No, he didn't receive the pain, but he inflicted it. And I think it would do the church, capital C, a lot of good to understand what they should do when they start cutting off ears. When you've said the wrong thing. When you hurt somebody. Because I've seen some supposedly spirit-led people say, well, okay, yeah, I hurt you, but, okay, no. No buts. No buts. We don't like those. And we cannot lie. You were thinking it. Well, yeah, okay, you know, I'm sorry. But you did this. I don't read that in Scripture. And this message may not be just for the people with ears on the ground. This might be for people that are holding really bloody swords. And it wasn't a sword, but it was a Facebook post. It wasn't a sword, but it was a really nasty comment. Maybe not even to your face, but they said it. You took advantage of somebody. And how amazing would the church be, capital C, if we just had people take responsibility for their actions? I'm talking to grown-ups, by the way, not 8-year-olds that won't clean the room. I'm talking about adults who need to learn to take responsibility for their actions and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I blew it. There's nothing wrong with that. Do you know how liberating that is? I think some of us need to lose the right to be right. When do we hurt people? We kind of see it in Peter's life. We hurt people, number one, when we fail to pray. If you were to look back in Matthew chapter 26, I'm not going to read that whole passage, verses 36 through 46. We just covered Jesus' prayer in the garden. Here's what we didn't cover last week. Okay, there were three disciples, Peter, James, John. He says, hey, Jesus says, hey, you pray here so you don't fall into temptation. I'm going to go pray. How'd they do? It was nap time. They slept. They failed to pray. And three times, Jesus is at his worst. But it's interesting, Jesus didn't say, pray for me. He just said, you need to pray so that you don't fall under temptation. And here's the deal. I'm convinced that if we are prayerless in our lives, it will actually not just have an effect on our relationship with God, but it has an impact on our relationships with other people. There is a sensitivity to his spirit that we acquire the more time that we spend with him. And what I've learned is that the closer I am with Jesus, the more I'm able to be a little bit more slow to speak, the more I'm able to hurt people less, the more I'm able to watch what I say and do and act. It keeps me, there's like a filter there, a Holy Ghost filter that keeps me from hurting individuals. And I'm convinced that if things are not where they should be vertically, it messes things up horizontally. We tend to hurt people when we fail to pray. It's not a priority anymore. We don't talk to God anymore. The extent of our prayer life is God bless his food, amen. Blessed to the nourishment of my body. Please bless these 2 Big Macs and a Diet Coke and make me healthy, amen. And we're just, some of you missed that, but that is your prayer. Our walk with God is crippled because we don't pray. Prayer will bring you closer to the heart of Jesus. We see people like Jesus sees them, and when prayer's missing, then people get hurt. So we tend to hurt people. We tend to cut off ears when we don't pray. Secondly, it's also when we fail to obey. It's when we fail to pray, but we also fail to obey. Pastor, what do you mean? Oh, I love this passage of Scripture. Look at Luke chapter 22, verses 49 and 51. When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? Let's pause there. Did Jesus answer them? I'll try that again. Did Jesus answer them? No. And then one of them, after they asked the question, one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. Do you know when people get hurt in our lives? Is when we ask God about something and we do not wait for him to answer. See, because I've met so many people that said, I prayed about it. Did you? What'd God say? Don't know. But I prayed about it. It's kind of like when I was like a little kid in my grandma's house. Grandma, can I have a cookie? No.
Well, okay.
And well, the damage is done. And I have damaged that cookie incredibly. How many times have we say, okay, God, is this the way that we should go? Should I do this? People get hurt. People get hurt. When we choose to act before getting direction from Jesus, we hurt people. And oftentimes it could be people that are totally innocent. Thirdly, we tend to hurt people when we fail to pray, when we fail to obey, and when we choose to stray. Matthew 26, verse 56. We read this later. It says this: all the disciples deserted him and fled. I will tell you that that decision gets made in your heart before it ever gets made with your feet. It got too tough. It got uncomfortable. And even Peter said, I'll be with you no matter what. He's gone. Mark's account says one of the disciples was running around with no clothes on as a result of this. They grabbed his clothes and there he is. One of the first acts of streaking in the New Testament was right there. He just took off. And I will tell you that when we tend to stray from God, and I already said this before, we're bound to hurt somebody. Because our closeness to Jesus, when you desert Jesus, your closeness to him is no longer there. So the further you get from him, the less you're able to hear his voice. The further you get from him, the less you're able to hear his voice. And quite honestly, some of us need to hear Jesus say, shut your mouth. Jesus needs to tell some Christians, don't hit send. Don't do that. But when we distance ourselves from God, that makes us prone to hurting people. So I wonder today, are things right between you and Jesus? Could it be that the people around you that you are hurting, it's not because they're sissies. It's not because they can't handle it. It's not because you're a truth teller. It's not because you're right and the whole world is wrong. By the way, if you're right and the whole world's wrong, you're wrong. But anyway, it's not because of all of that. Maybe because things aren't right where they should be with God, it's damaging your earthly relationships. And maybe today the best decision you can make would be to say, Lord, I need to give myself 100% to you. Are you in a right relationship with Jesus today? It's for your sake and for the sake of the people around you. Get right, stay right with Jesus. Amen? I'm going to close this. We've seen the servant, we've seen the Savior, and we've seen the servant, the soldier, and now we've seen the Savior. He's here. He wasn't just in the story, he's here today. And I want to point out how Jesus responded to this. Because if I'm Jesus and I'm watching this take place, I know I'm going to the cross, okay? Which is bad enough. But now I got my number two guy cutting off ears. It's like, Peter, I can't take you anywhere. And Jesus reacts in an interesting way here that I want to bring out to you before we pray. I want you to look at the Lord's will. Look what Jesus said here. He said, "Do you think I cannot call my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say that it must happen in this way?" This is going to set somebody free. I'm convinced of this, okay? Even in the midst, you ready? Even in the midst of a bloody ear, Jesus' will is still going to be accomplished. Oh, man. That's so good. Because so many of us, well, I've been hurt so bad. How can I fulfill God's will in my life? Or I've hurt so many people. I got so much baggage. I'm so imperfect. How can God do whatever he wants to do in me and through me? And Jesus says, do you actually think you and your sword, you and your Facebook post, you and your big mouth, do you think that's going to derail my will? Quite honestly, maybe some of us need to get over ourselves a little bit. Whatever end of the sword we're on. And understand that God's going to accomplish his will. And you might have some pain and some hurt and some difficulty in your life. Okay, all right. But understand, God's still going to do his will through you. And maybe you've made some big mistakes in front of a lot of people. God's still going to have his will done. It's going to take place. And your mess up, it's not going to mess up Jesus' will. Look at the Lord's words also. And it's the same words that I believe he has for us today. To Peter, the swordsman, he says this, "Put your sword away. Put your sword away." To us, he might say, "Would you think before you talk?" Man, if I'm getting in your business, I'm not sorry. I'm just telling you that how many people do we damage with our words? Would you see people like I see them? Would you quit posting that on your social media? Stop! Quit that. Put your sword away. And real fast, Matthew 18. Jesus gives this incredible instruction on restoration. If somebody sinned against you, go to them. Go to them. Because what Jesus wants is restoration. If that doesn't work, bring somebody with you. If that doesn't work, and the scripture keeps on going, that's how, you know, bring the pastor. If your problem's with the pastor, come to me. But Jesus is all about restoration. And don't justify your actions. "Well, he had it come, and he shouldn't have been here anyway, Jesus. Blech. He's lucky I didn't get the left ear." Put your sword away. Put your sword away. In fact, I wonder if Peter even said, "You know, my brother Andrew said that was a good idea." Doesn't matter if somebody agrees with what you did. If you hurt somebody, get that thing restored. Put your sword away. And to Malchus, "Let me heal your hurts." Can you imagine when Malchus went home that night, and he sees Mrs. Malchus? "Hi, honey, how's your day?" "You will never believe what happened to me." "What happened?" "You know that loud guy that follows Jesus? He cut off my ear. I don't know if he was aiming for my head or my ear, but he cut off my ear. And she sees the bloody clothes. But what's amazing is that I got to imagine that Mrs. Malchus would have said, I can't even tell because I don't even see a scar. I got lots of scars from surgeries, injuries. I bet some of you do too. But when Jesus heals those emotional hurts, he doesn't leave a scar. He heals you completely. Malchus, this is not your identity. Your pain is not your identity. The cross is your identity. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You're that one that he died for. That's your identity. Not your wounds, not your difficulty, not your past, not your baggage. Let Jesus heal you completely. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. This got to be for somebody here today. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord's will, the Lord's words, and finally his willingness. I'm going to end with this. Jonathan, if you could help me out. Look what Hebrews chapter 5 says. Verse 7 and 8, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, look at this, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 tells us that Jesus was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering. He was familiar with pain. He was familiar with grief. Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. What are we saying? Your pain? Jesus gets it. Jesus understands it. And Jesus can heal you of it. That's what he's able to do. So when I pray to Jesus, God, I've been betrayed by somebody. Jesus gets it. God, I've had people say some really bad things about me. Jesus gets it. God, there was somebody that I thought I could depend on who turned their back on me. Jesus gets it. There's somebody I invested in and they just totally failed me. They totally dropped the ball. Jesus gets it. Jesus cried. Jesus got angry. He felt all of our emotions just like we do, yet had no sin whatsoever. I wonder today if your view of Jesus might be something that could revolutionize your life by looking at him as not only this conquering king who he is, but also this one who felt the pain that I feel and felt the hurt that I feel and can heal me of it. So I wonder today, which end of the sword do you find yourself? Are you on the receiving end? You've been hurt? Jesus understands. And I'm going to put this on the screen. We are not here to create a victim mentality for you to survive in. I hate that for any child of God. You are not called to exist as a victim. Rather, today, we are here to create a victory mentality for you to thrive in. So not a victim mentality for you to just survive and barely make it. We are here to provide a victory mentality so that you can thrive. I don't understand why things have happened to some people. I don't get it. I ask Jesus all the time. He hasn't told me. And I imagine when we get on the other side of eternity, if it really matters, he'll tell me. But this I know, that he never wants me to walk as a victim. So today, if you have a bloody ear on the ground, Jesus can heal your hurts. Or maybe you've been on the other end of the sword. No matter how much you try to justify it, defend it, you know that there's pain there in a relationship, and you've caused that pain. And you can say you're the innocent person, but Jesus is here to restore. And so today, those of us who might be holding the sword, God might be saying, hey, there's a phone call you need to make. Hey, there's an appointment over at Starbucks that you need to set with somebody. And you need to talk things out. Hey, there's a message that you need to send. You need to ask forgiveness, and you maybe need to give forgiveness. But the important thing is not who is right and who is wrong. The important thing is their restoration. Now, hear me. If you have to set boundaries with people that are slinging swords, do it. Okay? Don't show them the left side. Have your way. But God can still restore and still put every relationship you have in its right place in your heart. Does this make sense to you today? So I wonder today, what end of the sword might you be on this morning, if any? Jesus is here to heal. Jesus is here to restore. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask God to either heal or change us today. And this is not the thing where you ask for a show of hands. This is something for us just to kind of take in and say, okay, Jesus, your words hit me this way. This is how I need to respond. And I want you to do that today. I want you to pray to God today. I want you to ask him for healing or ask him for courage to do the right thing. And the Lord will do that. I promise you. He wants this worse than you do. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn you loose to seek God. And don't leave until you're done with him and he with you. And let's trust God together that he will change some lives forever starting this morning. Jesus, would you speak to us now? And God, whatever side of the sword, the end of the sword that we are on, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, that you would bring your healing and your conviction to us, Lord. Stop us if we have our swords out. God, heal us if we've been wounded. And God, I pray for restoration. I pray for healing. I pray, Lord God, that our identity would not be in what we've felt or what we've experienced, but our identity would be in you. So Jesus, give us the courage to put our swords away. And Lord, may we allow you to heal us completely. No scars, nothing. And I'll thank you for what you do. God, I pray that those of us who need to linger a little bit and pray, that you would meet us and speak to us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. If you need to pray, feel free to do that right now. If God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed. God bless you.